What should I have said?
Was it okay for me to do that?
What was the right way to react?
Was it okay for me to step in? How do I know what was right?
It's a modern dilemma.
Yes, where you tell us about a problem in your life that you're grappling with. This time it comes from Matt, who's angsting over what was once a good friendship. That is, until the walls went up, the social media wall. Here's what he has to say. He says, I have a good friend. She's American and she now lives back in the United States. I always saw Nerida as smart, funny, progressive and open-minded. But after the US presidential election, I noticed an increasing number of posts in support of Donald Trump. This surprised me. We got into a few spirited exchanges about it on Facebook, but it all went sour when she shared more and more articles from authors who I see as opposed to equal rights for gay and transgender people. It just didn't sit right with me, and she was unapologetic. Is it right that I've unfollowed her on Facebook? To what extent should I try to accept her point of view? All right, so thanks, Matt, for sharing this one with us. And tell me, how far would you go, or have you gone, to maintain a friendship with someone who's revealed views you weren't previously aware of and that really contradict your own core values? Do you wipe them from your social media, end the friendship? You can let us know on Facebook. And hey, while you're there, why don't you like Life Matters? So, joining me to like or unlike this dilemma, Rowan Barwick in Alice Springs. He's the ABC Drive presenter there, and disability and queer rights consultant and avid social media user, Jax Jackie Brown. Now, Rowan, do you use social media, particularly Facebook, to maintain friendships, especially with people overseas?
Well, yes. Look, this strikes a particular chord with me. I actually left Facebook in a personal sense probably a few years ago. I was really struggling with the definition of what friendship is these days, because, you know, we meet people in the street and we strike up a conversation and then we become friends. And then I was really struggling with, well, at what point do you friend that person and do you wait for them to friend you, or do you friend them first? And then if you don't friend them on social media, does that mean you're not really friends in real life? And it raised all these questions for me. And then I was having all these people from, you know, decades ago from school who were getting in touch saying, oh, let's be friends on Facebook. And I thought, well, I don't, you know, we don't talk on the phone. We're not sending messages to each other. We're not sending emails. So do we really want to be friends on social media? So I was actually struggling with all of that. So I left it behind. I still use it for work, but I don't use it for social purposes, just because I just found it all a little bit too difficult. And I think this is a really good example of those dilemmas that come to us now with social media that perhaps we would have never dealt with before.
Exactly. So, Jax, how do you manage your friendships social media?
Yeah. So I'm really addicted to Facebook. I think if my other social platforms were as addictive as Facebook currently is, I wouldn't actually have a life outside of social media. But recently I did a massive friend call and I went from almost 1,000 friends on my personal page, I also have a public page, to about, I think I got it down to almost 500. And part of
the interesting thing is it used to be a sort of mark of honour about how many friends you had on Facebook. Has that changed, do you reckon?
It depends on who you're kind of talking to and how they're kind of using it. For me, I really did that because I felt like I wasn't really posting about what was really happening in my personal life at all, because I felt like I didn't really know these people and I had a kind of public persona that I had to keep up, which didn't really mirror my life or what I wanted to express with my actual friends who were in my life and in my social circles. So I thought, okay, I'll just kind of call these people. And I didn't do a big announcement like a lot of people do. I'm doing a friend call and you've made the call and you're still here. I just kind of quietly did it and didn't really get much backlash.
So on what basis did you cull, though? I mean, you know, was it, for example, about people who were Facebook friends with whom you didn't share the same opinions? That's Matt's dilemma.
No, I mean, I think in terms of my social circles, I've been pretty careful to keep most people on my Facebook sharing a similar view. And part of that is because I use my Facebook to be kind of a buffer between myself and some kind of disability discrimination stuff that can happen sometimes and that is really difficult to deal with. And so when difficult things happen, I like to have a safe space, if you like, where I can post and process some of that and get some support from the communities to which I belong. But I think family is a whole other issue. So I've got a brother who reads Andrew Bolt and would vote for Trump if he could. And he's...
So Andrew Bolt is a conservative commentator in the Murdoch press.
Yes. So my brother is quite proudly right-wing and I'm quite proudly left-wing. And kind of all the identity markers that I have as a queer wheelchair user, he doesn't kind of share. So we're really...
Interesting family.
We're really at odds in terms of our political views. And he was on my Facebook for a while and he ended up just getting in a lot of debates with me and a lot of debates with my friends who were sharing my views and not his. And also my parents are on both our Facebook pages. And it became quite an issue for our family because Mum would kind of read this stuff and get upset and call each one of us and tell us why can't we agree with each other and all this kind of stuff. And so I went, well, let's just not be friends because it's too hard for both of us. We both have strong opinions and we both can't take a deep breath and not express them in the moment. Let's communicate via other ways. So now occasionally we'll have a Skype or an email or that kind of thing. So, yeah, I have been kind of pretty selective in terms of who's on my Facebook, both in my friends and my family as well.
Interesting. Rowan, to what extent does it matter to you that you have friends, and that could be online but in the real world as well, to whom you don't necessarily share the same opinions or politics?
Yeah, look, it's a curious one, isn't it? And, I mean, I was picking up on what Jax was saying there about the friend cull. I mean, you know, wind the clock back 5 or 10 years and imagine before social media, before we all were engaged online, you know, actually actively saying to people, I'm having a friend cull and you've made it, but you haven't made it.
Yes.
So I'm sorry about that, but that's just how things are. I think that you can certainly have networks on social media, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or whatever, of people you disagree with. And I actually think that's probably quite a good thing to do and quite a healthy thing to do, because otherwise I think we are in danger of being in a bit of a vacuum where all we hear is commentary that we agree with.
And yes, it becomes a kind of echo chamber, doesn't it, Rowan, where really it's just people who you agree with.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, that's how Facebook's algorithm works as well. So if you're friends with people and you're clicking on the article that they're sharing, then Facebook can pick up on that and it thinks, well, you like this, so I'm going to give you more of that. So all of a sudden, I feel like your world can become smaller and smaller and smaller, and you're only seeing stuff that you agree with, which I think is dangerous. But I also think that you can be actively involved in that, but, you know, outside of social media, you can be engaging with other people and other ideas. So it doesn't necessarily mean that that's your only viewpoint. You can complement it with other things.
But I mean, if we think back to the previous little segment about having your smartphone with you at all times and kind of being keyed into social media, I think that's one of the real difficulties with this, is that you can be drawn into these debates endlessly all the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have engaged a lot with people who disagree with me on various forms of social media, and it ends up being kind of who can type the fastest, who can make the quickest comment, who can be in there saying as much stuff in a thread,
which is
that
awful,
wins the argument.
Interesting. So, Jax, on Facebook, you do have a choice. You can either do what Matt has done, which is he's unfollowed Nerida, which you could say in a way is the coward's way out. Explain the difference between unfollowing and unfriending, Jax.
So unfollowing is when you go to someone's page and you can click on the kind of friendship icon and click unfollow. And it just means that they won't come up in your newsfeed. You won't see any of the stories or things that they're commenting on. But they might still see you unless they've unfollowed you as well. They won't get a notification that they've been unfollowed. You can just do it covertly. And they're still on your actual friends list. So you can check in with them at any time you want. If you want to see what they're posting again at some point, you can do that. Unfriending is, of course, as the name suggests, making them no longer your friends. So they don't have access to your page. They can't read anything that you write unless, of course, you make it public. So, it's more of the... we're no longer friends, you're out of here, move.
And once again, imagine that in real life, you know, going up to somebody and saying, we're still friends, but I'm not going to listen to anything you say and I'm not going to read any of your articles, but we're still friends. I'm not unfriending you, but I'm not following what you're saying.
But I mean, I think it's really interesting as well in breakups, when you break up with someone and you've been in a Facebook relationship with them, do you unfriend?
Ah, yes. Well, that's the question.
Amanda Smith with you here in Life Matters. Very much liking this modern dilemma. Matt's Facebook friend Nerida has developed views, political and social, since moving back to the US that Matt finds troubling and upsetting and quite different to the person he once knew. So what would you do? Cull or keep? Unfollow or unfriend? Or stay Facebook friends and continue to argue your point of view? You can let us know on Facebook. Michael McKenna. Kenzie's with us too, with some Facebook comments that have come in already.
Not ironic that you can follow us and respond on Facebook.
There was no irony there.
No, nothing there at all. People actually have been really interestingly divided on this issue, and unfollow has been one of the great suggestions coming through on Facebook so that people can, you know, do it tactfully. Helen says, regarding the topic just announced, coincidentally, she says, I've just this very minute sent a response to a person I know in the USA who's a great supporter of Trump. And I just said, quote, I love getting fun posts, especially about animals, but I don't want any political stuff on Facebook. I'll see what his reaction is, says Helen. Ben says, I unfriend people. Emma says, I just can't be friends with someone who's strongly opposing political views to me. If you didn't already know what your core beliefs were until you saw something on Facebook, then you aren't that good of a friend anyway, and it's no major loss when you hit the unfriend button. Margaret says, unfollow. I've done that. You're not exposed to it, and they still see your posts. Ishtar says, unfriend them if they show a side that attacks your core belief and understanding of who you are, and not just unfriending online. Unfriend them from your life entirely. If someone that is supposed to be your friend acts in a way that denies you your human rights, then they're not really your friend.
A widespread cull. All right, so finally, Jax and Rowan, in Matt's case with Nerida, what would you do? Jax?
I think I'd unfriend, yeah. I mean, I think he's tried to engage. They've had a number of conversations and they're really just not aligned. And he seems to be getting some degree of distress from having to engage with it. And I think what's happening is, even though he's unfollowed, because they've got a number of mutual friends, her posts can still then appear in his newsfeed. So he's still being exposed to it because of the number of mutual friends commenting.
All right. Rowan, what about you?
Yeah, look, I think I agree with Jax on that. I think that, once again, taking it into the real world, if they were having dinner and she was saying a lot of the things that are in the articles that she's been sharing, would they, at the end of that dinner, say, wow, we're really good friends, let's keep this going? Or would he actually think, you know what, you've said so much stuff that I disagree with, I don't think we're on the same page anymore and I don't think we can be friends. And I think that probably would happen in the real world. So if it would happen in the real world, then I think it probably should happen on social media as well, because it sounds like whatever was connecting them in the past isn't anymore. I do believe that there's often a season for, you know, different friends and for different people. Maybe there was a season earlier on where their friendship was good, but maybe they've gone in separate directions and it's time to say, catch you later.
All right, Michael McKenzie.
Well, just some final comments on some other issues as well from today. When it comes to sleep patterns of teenagers, yeah? The Alice Miller School in Victoria is a secondary school that has tailored its opening hours to the kids' natural sleep rhythms. It operates between 10 a.m. and 5. Someone says, what about possum-induced sleep deprivation? Is this a national crisis or just on my street? And someone else says, my child has ADHD, and without melatonin, he has a lot of trouble falling asleep. We really still need it.
Interesting. Thanks, Michael McKenzie. And let me say thank you to our Modern Dilemma guests too. Rowan Barwick is the presenter of the Drive program on ABC Radio in Alice Springs. Thanks, Rowan.
Thanks very much.
And Jackie Brown is a disability and queer rights consultant and a performer. Thanks to you too, Jax.
Thank you.